we are excited about WOMAD this weekend. It's going to be so, so good. And WOMAD hosts the Planet Talks series each and every year, which is a forum of esteemed academics, activists, journalists, communicators, basically really cool people who explore a range of topics that are going to shape our future, essentially. A Future Forward Meet the Changemakers is taking place this Sunday at WOMAD, and we're actually joined by one of the presenters this morning, Amelia Chaplin. Good morning.
Good morning, Molly and Craig. How are you both?
Yeah, good.
Yeah.
Great to have you on as well. So it's this the Future Forward Meet the Changemakers session. It's exploring what a renewed relationship to the planet looks like and asking, what do we need to do as humans to regenerate? Can you break down exactly how this is going to go forward? What it all entails?
Yeah, totally. So the Planet Talks are such an incredible series that I hosted at WOMAD each year. I still feel so bewildered at the fact that I'll be on one of these panels because I've gone to WOMAD for years. I've volunteered there for years, and I'm always just in such awe at everyone who talks and shares such great insights into kind of our future and what that means. For me, that renewed relationship to the planet is all kind of about regeneration, so how we can better look after our soils, our seas, and importantly, our communities, because I think, you know, especially in the wake of what's happening up in Queensland and Northern New South Wales at the moment, that community resilience is so important in the face of any disaster, but particularly these natural disasters and weather events that are occurring more and more likely. So that's kind of what I want to share with everyone at WOMAD on Monday.
That's a really good point. I had not thought about that ever until you just said it, that it's on the communities to actually look after the environment. Of course it is, but just hearing you say it, that's so true with everything going on at the moment. I read a really cool sentence about you, Amelia, and I want to share it with everyone. It says this: Amelia Chaplin is passionate about demystifying climate science and political jargon that surrounds it to empower young people with the knowledge and tools to make impactful change. So good, firstly. Yeah. But what are those tools and how can we implement them into our lives? Because this is something I always feel I need to do more in.
Yeah, and I feel like it's so easy to get really bogged down in not really understanding exactly what's happening and not understanding how we can get involved, right? Because it just seems like something that is so beyond our everyday actions. The jargon is saying some global warming to climate change, and then we talk about like net zero emissions and carbon neutrality, and for a lot of people it's so out of reach. Like, I would love to have an electric vehicle, but I'm on a graduate salary and I rent a house and I just don't have a spare $40,000 for a Tesla. So where do we find that balance between not feeling guilty about not being the most sustainable, ethical, organic produce buying, home farming, composting people, to actually making a difference and getting out there and involved? So I believe that's where being a really strong part of your community is, and getting out and involved in like cleanup days and planting trees and knowing your neighbours and being able to rely on them and really having that thinking global but act locally mentality. And then with that comes a better understanding of your local space, and then you can be a bit more engaged politically and really advocate for what will make a difference in your community. Kind of bring everything on a smaller scale that makes such a big impact in the broader scheme of our resilience.
And I think it's true as well that we can make a change. It's just about bringing it back down to your level, as you've touched on there. Like, what are the little things that we can do? If everybody's doing those little things, it becomes a big thing, right?
Yeah, exactly. Like, every little part really helps in the bigger picture of it all. And it's easy to think that, you know, there's just 40 old white men up in power positions that make all these decisions for us. But really, that does start on a local level, and the actions we make and the things we advocate for will always funnel up.
The world's changed, right? And we've just, like, day-to-day life is just the norm now. And I feel like we almost need to strip back and go a little bit backwards, because I think we've gone too far in one direction. We need to go back to that local level like you're talking about, and those small things are going to then make people at a larger level go, oh, this is how people are living now. And so then it takes away, I think that's what you're sort of saying, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's where change can come through. So your thesis was titled Same Sand, Different Day, The Barriers to Effective Coastal Adaptation Along the Metropolitan Coastline. So you're believing that the pathway out of the climate crisis is complete regeneration of our soil, seas and communities. So how does that all play together?
Yeah, great question. So the inspiration for me kind of writing my thesis on that topic was like growing up along the south coast near Christie's Beach in Moana, loving the ocean so much, as most of Australia will probably agree, such a part of our national identity. But then also this realisation that sea level rise and coastal erosion and all these massive problems are only going to get worse. And back in 2019, there was also a lot of problems happening further up at West Beach with the erosion that's still happening there today and the big sand pipeline that we have down there. So the title, Same Sand, Different Day, was a little tongue-in-cheek at how we're constantly piping sand from different parts along our coast to kind of restore and replenish these areas that are eroding pretty badly. We're trying to put a band-aid solution on the issue as opposed to forward planning how we can better reduce the impact that that erosion is having on the coastline. So I guess a little 101 on our fabulous coast is our coastline is almost 4,000 kilometres long, and a lot of that was these beautiful high rolling sand dunes that would be 200 or 300 metres in width kind of in the 50s, like post-war era. And then obviously everyone wanted to live on the coast because it's so beautiful. So we kind of just built right on top of that coastline, and we left really little of that dune system to act as a natural replenisher. And the way that our coast is here in SA is on a bit of a funny angle. So instead of the sand just drifting naturally across, it's going up in like a northerly direction. So the sand's getting picked up from the south and getting dropped on the like northerly beaches all the way up to the next peninsula, which is beautiful, and it's made some really great cliffs and sand dune systems, but it really means that we're losing a lot of sand each year to that movement. So we used to also have these beautiful seagrass forests just a few kilometres off the coast, where we had like almost 7,000 hectares of a seagrass ecosystem out there, which acted as another barrier to our coastline. So when a big storm would come in, the wave energy would kind of get blocked by that first barrier of defence of the seagrass dune, and then it would come onto the ocean, onto the shoreline, and the sand dune there would act as that kind of second level of defence. So now we live in a context where we don't have that seagrass forest out there at that first barrier of protection, and now we also don't have that sand dune as that second barrier of protection. So when big storms come in, that's where we see a lot of erosion happen along the coast, which obviously is not particularly great. So with sea level rise and major impact of climate change coming, that really threatens the stability of our coastline as well, and it really threatens a lot of the infrastructure we have, but also just that general beautiful sandy shoreline that we all love to spend our summer and winter days on.
It's such a complex issue, isn't it? I'm just learning so much from listening to you speak about this. How on earth are we supposed to keep almost everyone happy? How do we make sure we're protecting the coastline, the ecosystem, beachfront properties, but also making sure that people can get out and do what we as Australians love to do, and that's just go to the beach on a Sunday afternoon?
Such a great question, Molly. I'm still yet to have the answer to it, because that's the thing. It's so multifaceted. But that's really, again, where that community integration really comes into play. So there's so many fantastic coastal groups along our coastline, which really work to re-stabilising these dune systems, like particularly down at Brighton along the Minda Dune shoreline. We've done an incredible rehabilitation project down there where that dune system has now really come back alive, and it's now meters deep, and it's really acting as a great barrier to protection. But it's really tricky because there's some areas that obviously have infrastructure right on the shoreline there. And Christie Beach only a few years ago experienced some pretty bad flooding during the King Tide. So what can we do with that? Because hard infrastructure like a seawall, whilst it protects properties, it really damages the coastline as well, because when a powerful wave hits a concrete wall, it will dig under and dig a lot of that sand back towards the ocean, and we'll lose a lot of our shoreline too. So I don't have the best solutions. I think re-establishing those sand dunes and advocating for the beach to be for everyone is the most important thing that we can do.
Yeah, it seems like we've made a lot of quick brush decisions that, like, we want to live on the beach, which I guess you can't complain with, but it's made so many issues that we obviously need to look at quite quickly and quite critically. So we're glad we have people like you looking into this and looking for solutions.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the thing. With increased sea level rise, these issues are only going to become more and more prominent across the entire coastline, not only here, but all across the world, right? So, and I think that's when we talk about sea level rise, there's a bit of a disconnect in understanding, because you're like, oh, a metre of sea level rise. Like, I see the shoreline come in and out 10 metres on a given day. Like, the River Murray, like, ebbs and flows in how high it is. So what's the big deal? I think a lot of people ask. But the way that I find it really simple to understand is it's not about that final shoreline spot. It's about 70% of our Earth's surface is ocean. So if you were to put a giant ruler down from the top of the water to the bottom of the ocean, say it's 1,000 meters deep, it's much more than that. But for this purpose, sea level rise means that whole ocean surface will be 1,001 meters deep, which doesn't sound like too much in an isolated area, but when you're looking at 70% of the world's ocean being a meter deeper, we're looking at like 42 trillion liters of water added into the system. So when a pool overflows, the water doesn't just like overflow the 10 or 20 centimeters that it does when that extra water's in it. It flows out all across the patio pavement, as anyone that had a pool would know. So that's kind of what sea level rise means. It's not just a meter difference in the shoreline. It's all this extra water in the ocean having nowhere to go and seeping out all into these coastal dwellings and everything that we have right on the edge of the coast there.
That's amazing, isn't it? I just have so many questions. This is really interesting stuff. Is this a dumb question? No one judge me. But what is the main contributor to sea levels actually rising?
Not a dumb question at all. It's mostly glaciers melting. So all
Okay.
We've got, if you walked in a straight line from Hallett Cove, you would eventually meet Antarctica. So that's a huge one for us. Glaciers melting all across the world. And also, as the ocean gets warmer, the water molecules actually expand.
What? That's amazing as well.
Yeah, so when we put, not only are the glaciers melting and sea ice melting, but ocean temperatures are rising by 1.5 degrees, so then all the molecules are expanding and taking up more space, and they have nowhere to go other than up and out, right? So the water is spreading a lot more.
A metre might not mean anything it probably still will mean quite a bit, but for someone who's maybe near a beach, but someone who's on an island right now that is only a couple metres above sea level, they will know about it very quick. So we've got to think about our brothers and sisters there as well.
Absolutely. And so Australia is the most at-risk developed nation to the impacts of climate change for a whole different amount of reasons, like not only because we're a coastal island, but also the prevalence of droughts and bushfires. Mm. We've seen all of these disasters in the last few years, right? But not only is that a huge issue, but all of our neighbours across the Pacific are all the next 15 most vulnerable developing countries, because they're all so low-lying and they have such a lower capacity of resources.
I feel like what I'm taking away from this right now, and feel free to weigh in here, Craig, is that a lot of this is about education.
For sure.
Because even just over the last, 20 minutes or so, I feel like all of this stuff I didn't really know, which is, I'm always like a bit embarrassed about, but I think a lot of people probably sit in that boat where they go, oh yeah, I know this climate change thing is happening and I'm doing my little bits, but you know, on top of doing those small things, I think a lot of it is about education.
And I imagine, Amelia, you wouldn't want that education coming from politics at the moment either.
Yeah, absolutely not. It's a very interesting time, I think, that we're all living in. But I don't know. I look to the younger generation and the way that they're mobilising and being such strong advocates for change and really, unfortunately, but fortunately, making it their issue. Like the school strikes for climate, they're the ones that are out there like demanding better today so we can secure a future for us. And I'm only 26, so I still have a long time on this planet and I like it to be as habitable as possible.
Wow. So I'm loving this. if people are listening right now and they're going, okay, this has been really educational, super informative. What are the key things that you would suggest they take away from this moving forward, changes they can start making from today?
Honestly, and this is going to seem so left of field here, but the biggest change an ordinary household can make in terms of emissions reduction and mitigating climate change is to put all of your organic green food waste into the green bin or compost it. It makes such an unbelievable difference in the methane emissions that are released into the atmosphere, which cause that heating effect. So everyone, my biggest plea is to adequately use your green and organic waste. So that would be action number one. Action number two would be to, get really involved in your community and the local things that matter to you. And if that is climate change, talk to your neighbours about it. Try and send an email to your local MP without the backing of the community to bring this to front and forefront of the agenda. It won't happen. And whenever there are fabulous community days that are getting out along the coast and planting shrubs and planting trees, like wherever you are, we have planting days all throughout winter to kind of regenerate and reestablish our ecosystem. Get involved. There's nothing more soothing for the soul than some fresh air and a bit of dirt on your hands and being able to make a practical difference right then and there. I think that helps bond our community together as well as educate ourselves on the importance of everything.
Well, if you found this chat educational, which I feel like everybody has, get along to WOMAD on Sunday and check out Amelia. She's speaking as part of a Future Forward Meet the Changemakers. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been an absolute delight. No problem at all.